Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Leal, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And coming to you from the hinterlands of Babylon, I bid you hello, and I welcome you to another session where we will examine the mysteries of the end times. And from this location, I must report that the land has begun to take sips from the bitter cup of her judging fate. Drought has become a rising tide within her borders, and by the hand of Almighty God, the blazing sun is delivering a scorching message. A message that says, He is the Lord that sits on the throne. And ladies and gentlemen, who can hide from His judging hand? No one. It's here, folks. That season. That time period. That envelope of human history where sorrow would visit the earth and the land would mourn. It's been prophesied that in the last days we'd see a host of events that were divinely orchestrated by God. The Bible says so. And the Bible also says that during this time period, many people would be deceived and walk away from their faith. The Bible tells us that one of the biggest deceptions would be an actual spiritual blindness. A blindness that would shade their spiritual eyes from seeing what was going on. And today, in August of 2012, how many people out there would rather talk about a TV sitcom or a reality show instead of try to understand present world events? It's the majority, folks. The majority would rather talk about the fun things. The people would rather talk about things that are simple and easy to comprehend. The people would rather talk about the things that bring pleasure to their flesh. And how many Christians here in America understand that a divine judgment is underway right now across the Midwest in the form of a historic drought? And how many of those Christians actually care that their food bill is going to start climbing because of this drought? How many pastors are warning their people that this thing is divine because America is undergoing her demise? Most people have no clue. And if you try to tell them, they don't care. My friends, right now, Western civilization is undergoing a collapse. And to all those that have the ears to hear and understand, please know this. This collapse that I'm talking about is going to affect each and every life within the borders of America and the lives of many outside of the borders. And if you live in Europe, you're also going to endure the pain. Canada, Australia, New Zealand, this thing is going to be felt by the whole world. And let me put it like this. If you speak English, you're going to feel it. Nathan, do you have a date? Yeah, I have a date. Here it is. September 2008 and beyond. It's already been in motion for 4 years. That's the date. We're over 40 months into this thing. The history books are already starting to tally the damage, the destruction, the melting, the demise, the carnage. But here we are, 4 years into this thing, and most people still have no clue. And as the events are occurring, they speed up at times, and then at times they slow down. But they're continuing to move like slow-moving red-hot lava. Started in September of 08. And back then, the marker painted itself into the world financial system. And since then, we've had other categories to join the fray. Earth changes, drought, famine, lost wealth, poverty. And soon these things will be joined by war and destruction by man and by nature. More fish will die. More waters will become poison and undrinkable. And more portions of the land are going to mourn. Man, Nathan, you're a bummer. I know, folks. It's not a good report, but it's a true report. You know what separates this report from a tragic report? Here's the answer. Those people who hear the report and heed the report and prepare to weather the report. That's it, folks. The people who hear and dismiss the report and as a result do nothing will be prepared with nothing. They're not going to have a few loaves and fishes. And having a few loaves and fishes gives God something to work with. I know that it's been a while since I've talked about some of these things on this program, but today we're going to go very deep into something that is going on right now. And as I do, please take many notes. In fact, if you have to, please pause this audio and go get your Bibles and a pen and paper, and I'll wait for you. This information is too important to ignore. I don't want you to treat it just as another audio that you're able to download off the internet. This is not just another Blog Talk radio program. The information that you're about to hear is going to reveal a lot of the very important things that are happening right now on this planet. It's going to reveal the plans of those in dark places. It's going to reveal the direction that this earth is going. I know that I'm a little bit behind with this audio, but the topic that you're about to hear took hours and hours of research, and I would say it was over 150 hours of in-depth study. Over the last several weeks, I woke up, ate, and slept, thinking and researching and praying about this information. And it was a very tall challenge, but now I believe I have enough information to talk about it and to share it. By now, you've already read the title of this program, and you know that the topic is going to be about the Olympic ceremony and the plans for the New World Order. But please do not let the topic sound too simple, because as I researched this whole matter and as I studied the Olympic ceremony, I was amazed at how much imagery and symbolism and cryptic messaging was taking place in that ceremony. So I'm saying all of this to forewarn you that if you continue the research that I'm going to present here and you want to further examine it for yourself, I say this from the bottom of my heart. Please make sure that you are bathed in prayer and that you have the armor of God on you, because this thing is so evil. It's so dark. But the Bible tells us that we have to be watchful and we have to not be ignorant of the schemes of Satan. So this is why I felt it very important that I study this information to present it to you, so that those of you that are listening will not be ignorant of his schemes. The things that the New World Order has planned for your life are going to start taking place very, very soon. In fact, some of them are already in motion. These things are going to affect the lives of you, your loved ones, your family, your friends. They're going to affect your lifestyle. We're all going to be involved in their plan. And God's going to allow this thing to happen. That's why it's important for us to know what's going on. So my friends, again, please take this message very seriously. Now, I know that this is going to be a hard assignment, but in these last days, the people of God need to be very wise to what's going on. We need to have the light of Christ. We need to know what's happening so that we can know it's part of the scriptures in fulfillment of end time prophecy. And also, you need to know what they have planned so that you are not deceived, my friends. There is going to be a great, great deception in the coming months, in the coming years, by those that are in power, by the media, by those that are a part of the blindness of the spiritual wickedness in high places that is over this planet. A great deception is underway even right now, folks. So we have to be aware and knowledgeable of the schemes of the enemy. Now, how does one that wants to be part of the remnant, how does a person that wants to be aware of the plans and schemes of Satan, how do we learn these things but at the same time not get polluted? How do we not allow ourselves to get spiritual sludge and mire on us when we're learning these things? And that is what the challenge is. So as I present this information, I am going to do my best to present it in a sanitized way that will not be polluting. I'm going to try to stick to the facts, because I don't want this information to be a stumbling block to anyone that is listening. This audio that you are now listening to is going to be part one of what has become a huge mega series expose on the Olympic ceremony, the New World Order, and the New Age. When I first began this project, I did not know that I was going to discover as much information as I did. So far, I've recorded 8 hours of audio, which is being edited right now, and I probably have another 6 to 8 hours to record. Why am I doing this? Well, it's because the recent Olympic ceremony was not just a one-time event with repercussions that have already expired. Because, my friends, that ceremony was instead a turning point for this world. It was a spiritual ritual that took us into a new chapter of history. And what we saw during that ceremony was so profound in the prophetic world of the end times. Very profound, folks. And it's for this reason that I'm embarking on this huge mega project. Now, so far, I have almost 6 audio messages recorded, and it looks like it's going to take several more on top of that to cover all of the needed information. If you're a student of End Time Scholarship, I would say that this series needs to be a part of your working knowledge of the end times. Now, this is part 1, and part 2 is going to be out in a few days, and then part 3 will follow a few days after that. I'm going to try to have all of the parts out in the next 1 to 2 weeks, so please share this with everyone, folks. Burn them, download them, share the link, but we need to get the word out while we still can. Now, as I stated, folks, I've spent several weeks of die-hard, intensive study, and it's through your support that I'm able to continue to do this. So if you appreciate these messages, if you appreciate the spiritual food, the sermons, the reporting, and the researching that is conducted by this ministry, Watchman's Cry, we appreciate and we need your support, folks. It helps me to continue to do this. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Before I start talking about our topic, I want to share an email that I just received, and it's from a listener who says, and this has to do with our previous program. We went into great detail on the drought that is now happening in the United States. This drought is a part of the big picture of God's judgment, and this thing is going to play out with very expensive food. The last program went into a lot of detail on it. If you haven't heard it, you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and listen to it. All the audios are free there. But in this email, let me just read it. It says, "Good evening, Nathan and family. I wanted to share some information with you. I don't know how accurate it is, but I still feel the need to share what I have been told. My husband works in the food industry, and he had a conversation with a friend who is also in the food restaurant industry. And he told my husband that due to the severe drought in the Midwest, that next week plans are in place to kill off mass amounts of cattle because the cattle ranchers don't have any way to feed them, and by sending them to the market, at least they can make some money by not letting them starve to death. With this being said, we're going to see the cost of beef drop for a week, maybe two, due to the expected flood of beef onto the market, and once this passes, the prices will likely go off the charts. I'm sending this to you in hopes you will keep an eye on the cost of meat over the next week or so. This happens, maybe you and your family and everyone who can will be able to stock up before we won't be able to afford to buy meat. Again, I'm not sure if this is going to happen. However, I'm going to watch closely over the next 2 weeks just in case. I've listened to you and agree to you about being prepared. I've seen and continue to see the cost of everything going up. God bless you." By the way, listener, you know who you are. Thank you for sharing that with us. And folks, I totally agree with this email. Those of you that are paying attention, it's obvious that this drought is going to have lasting and very impactful ramifications on the future of food costs very, very soon. The drought is getting worse. It's spreading. In fact, Obama recently blamed the new candidate for vice president, his opposition, Mitt Romney's new running mate, Paul Ryan. Obama said that Ryan should do something about the drought. So Obama is blaming the damage of the drought now on Mitt Romney's running mate. How silly is that, folks? To blame it on a politician? Oh, because the politicians need to come up with some kind of emergency package for the farmers? But that's still not going to lower the temperature of the sun. That's still not going to make the jet stream realign itself and come down further south like it's supposed to be right now. Ladies and gentlemen, this drought that is underway right now is part of the judgment of God. It's going to play out, and it's going to be very, very serious to everyone listening. It's going to be serious, folks. So, side note, if you have not taken this matter to heart yet, I want to challenge you. Make the sacrifices that need to be made to get food right now while you can. And if this means possibly lowering your vacation budget so that you can have more for food, I would encourage you to do this. Whatever it takes. Folks, people are going to be standing in line for food, but the food they're going to be getting will come with a price. Standing in a FEMA bread line, and it will come with a price of regret, asking yourself, why didn't I when I could have? We do not need to have regret. In the coming days, we need to be having vigilance. And if you're a father or a mother, it's up to you to be responsible and to make the sacrifice, to say no, to make adjustments in your shopping list, to cross some things out and add some things that need to be added. I'm pretty sure, folks, you know what you need to do. Try to find some grocery stores where you can buy food in bulk in 20-pound bags or 25-pound bags. It's possible to do it, folks. Now, let's get started. This program is going to go very, very deep, and it's going to explain many things. It's going to explain where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. So again, folks, share this program with everybody. But I want to give this caveat. Some will not be able to see it. Please pray about everything that you hear. Now, I want to say this up front. This program is not just information. It is not just news. There is a plan that exists. This is not just a plan for the future, but it's underway right now. And this plan is going to include everyone that's alive on this planet. And this plan is an undertaking of the powers of darkness in these end times. The end times has been purposely sealed up with a mist from God. But God is removing the mist, the fog. And for this reason, some of the things that we have been taught, possibly that you have been taught about how the end times are going to play out, maybe you read about them several years ago. Please keep this in mind, folks. I really, really believe, and I've done programs on this. I've talked about it. I have articles on it. I really believe that some of the expected events and signs that we have been taught are going to play out differently than the way that we've been taught. In other words, God is going to throw a prophetic curveball. And some of the signs and prophecies may play out differently than Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye taught us. Yes, Jesus is coming soon. Yes, the book of Revelation is going to play out. Yes, it's going to be a time of great distress. Men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. But some of the events may happen different than how we have read them in biblical prophecy books. And for this very reason, it is so, so important for all of us to maintain our vigilance and to be willing to make readjustments as students of prophecy. We need to maintain vigilance with endurance. And the recipe for endurance is not just a proclamation saying, hey, brother, I'm a Christian, I'm going to make it, I'm going to endure. The recipe for endurance is going to require to step it up spiritually. The recipe for endurance is going to require that we get a hold of the secrets that are provided in Scripture. There's no extra biblical revelation that supersedes the Bible, as some claim. Jesus gave us everything that we need to know in the Scriptures, but we must seek it and we must find it. The Scriptures are the foundation that keep us from being led astray. We cannot dismiss the Scriptures. And if you hear some doctrine that goes totally against Scriptures, then let me say this, folks. It's not from God, because God does not go against His Word. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but His Word will not pass away. And it's for this reason that I'm stressing this. The key for us to discover the treasures of the end times is going to take us seeking in the Scriptures. That's where it is, folks. Many Christians have a tendency to read a prophecy book and not look it up in the Scriptures for themselves. Folks, this is why we're in the mess that we're in right now as far as expecting the rapture. My friends, I, Nathan Liao of Watchman's Cry, at one time believed in the pre-tribulation rapture, but now, after years of diligent biblical research, I have discovered that the pre-tribulation rapture cannot be found or defended or supported by the Scriptures. It can't be done. The Scriptures do tell us about the resurrection that is going to come at the very end on the last day, but it does not tell us about the pre-tribulation rapture. So if it's not found in there, then that would mean that we have to first come to terms with this bummer of information. And I know, folks, those of you that believe in the pre-trib rapture, maybe some of you are trying to work this thing out. Maybe some of you are suspecting. You know, I know I've been taught the pre-trib rapture, but lately I'm revisiting this thing. And I want to say this, my friend, at first it's going to be hard to swallow. It's going to be hard to accept. And in layman's terms, it's going to be a quote-unquote bummer to find out that the pre-trib rapture is not going to happen. But after you get past the processing of accepting that spiritual truth, then we are able to focus on the new assignment. And here's what the new assignment is. Preparation. Endurance. The quest for wisdom and knowledge and understanding so that you can endure the season. And see, folks, that's what it's about. Because without the pre-tribulation rapture, that means Christians actually have some homework to do. Without the pre-tribulation rapture, that means that we got to get prepared. Without the pre-tribulation rapture, we have some more studying to do. We have to get a hold of more faith in God to provide safety and provision and discernment for us. Folks, I bring this message as truth. By the way, if you're a new listener and you're saying, "What? Well, hold on, Nathan, what do you mean? Someone told me to listen to your program and you're talking about this. That's almost heresy where I come from." Folks, I know it's hard to swallow. But if you want some further study, go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and I have some articles about it. But let's move on, all right, folks? Now, as I was saying, I truly, truly believe that God is going to throw a spiritual curveball, and many of the signs that we have believed in are not going to play out how we expect. And when they do not play out how we expect, a lot of individuals who are Christians, while they're still looking for the wrong sign, will not realize that the real sign is happening before their eyes, under their feet, in their lifetime. The real things are going to be happening. They may not happen with a huge announcement on TV or a radio program, but they're going to be happening. Therefore, my friend, it's very important for us to have our eyes open and be watching. And also, let me say it this way. If some of you are still sitting in your chair and you're listening to this program, you're saying, "Nathan, I'm still thinking about the preacher of rapture. I didn't even hear the last few minutes of what you just said." Let me say this, my friend. At least do this. Place the possibility for your own sanity. Place the possibility that maybe Nathan's right. Place that on the table and try to be willing to examine it. And after you do that, now let's move forward and please listen to the next things that I'm about to say. My friend, if the pre-tribulation rapture doesn't happen, that means that a lot of the prophecies that we expect to happen during the tribulation period, we need to know what they are because we're going to be here when they happen. We need to know what's going on. We need to be aware. We need to be able to wake up one day, and if you see the event happen on TV, you need to be able to say, "Whoa, the Bible is happening before my eyes right now. I need to tell my wife. I need to tell my pastor, my loved ones." By the way, let me warn you with this, my friend. When you do this, if perchance in the coming months you find yourself seeing some of the tribulation events happening and you go and try to explain it to your Christian friends, they're going to say, "That's nice and it sure is scary what you just said, but sorry, I don't agree with you or believe what you just said because we're still here." You see, folks, the pre-tribulation rapture makes people not receive the truth. And it's going to be happening, folks. It will. So this is why I'm going to share the information that I'm about to share on this program. Again, take a lot of notes. Become very familiar with what you hear. Listen to all the parts. If you have to, listen to them several times. I'm going to try to get this program transcribed and I'll have it available on the website. But that'll come in the future because it has to be transcribed. There's a lot of spiritual homework we're going to need to be doing, folks. And the scriptures that are hidden in our hearts are going to be the only spiritual and tangible thing that we will have to rely on as the future days become darker. Now, before I start talking about the Olympic ceremony, I have to establish this. Over the past few years, events have been coming into motion that reveal that we're in the end times. Matthew 24 is known by most Christians as the end time outline. Most of you have read that many, many times. You know what's in there. And one of the most popular verses in Matthew 24 is Jesus telling us that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be famine, pestilence, earthquakes. And he also says that these things must be. We know about those things. We know about the earth change stuff. And now we're seeing these things happen. We're seeing the famines begin. We're hearing about the wars and the rumors of wars. Earthquakes in diverse places. We're hearing about them, folks. You can go to the internet every day and read about them. They're happening. But aside from those earth change things, there's another category of things that was also included in this list. Most people haven't been noticing them. And that's what I want to bring to light right now. Matthew 24 says, and if you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 24 so you can see what I'm talking about. Matthew 24, verse 6. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And see that you are not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Right now we're hearing about a rumor of war with Iran and another rumor of war that is coming with Syria. And it appears that many nations are aligning themselves on their side of the worldwide game board. The threats are being spoken, taunting one another. That's what the Bible's talking about right here, wars and rumors of war. Verse 7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Verse 8, all of these things are the beginnings of sorrows. Now, what does that mean, folks? The beginnings of sorrows, it means that the earth is mourning. It means the land is mourning. And when I say the earth is mourning, I do not mean that the earth is literally alive and crying because she's sad. It's a spiritual metaphor, meaning that the land is undergoing chaotic events and the people that live on the surface of the earth are in sorrow and mourning. So, in other words, the earth through the people is mourning. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And then look at verse 9, folks. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Now, right here it's saying they're going to deliver you up to tribulation. This passage of scripture is talking about the tribulation period in Revelation. So we have all the wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, all that stuff. And then it's the beginning of sorrows. And then they deliver us up to kill us. Now, between verse 8 and 9, it didn't say then they will be raptured and disappear, and then those that are left will get saved, and then they'll get killed. Doesn't say that, folks. Verse 9 says what it says. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Okay? What is that talking about? That means that in the future, the New World Order, the one world government, is going to make it very uncomfortable to be a Christian. And anyone that continues being a Christian is going to get arrested and end up at Camp FEMA. If you live in America. If you live in another country, maybe it'll be some gulag vacation. But Christians are going to be delivered up. And then verse 10 says, then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Now, folks, think about that. Many will be offended. Who's it talking about? It's talking about his people. Christians are going to be getting offended and will betray one another. And they're going to hate one another. Why would that happen? Let's move on. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So there's going to be a lot of deception going on. So we have people behaving badly. They're going to be offended and get mad and hate. And then we have deception rising up. And then look at verse 12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold or wax cold. Now, what does that mean? Men's hearts are going to be darkened with iniquity, with sin. A lot of people are going to be sinning in the last days. During the season that's coming in the New World Order, going against the commandments of God will not be viewed as bad. Uh-oh. Actually, folks, that's happening now, isn't it? Adultery is the lifestyle of progressive man in the new millennium, isn't it? And with adultery, we have the fornicators, the homosexuals, and we have people into perversion. We have the profane, the foul. Basically, during the end times, Babylon's going to be one big party, one big flesh fest, festival of carnality. Now that means that Christians will not be very Christian-like, and their love for God is going to get weaker and weaker, and the things of the world are going to hypnotize them, and they're going to find themselves gravitating toward the things of the world. They're going to find themselves influenced and partaking of the things of the world. It says right here, iniquity is going to abound, lawlessness, sin. But here's the big question. Why? Why are people going to be getting offended and betraying one another? In other words, they're going to be mad and full of anger. Why? Their moods are not going to be how they used to be. The control of their temperaments is going to grow weaker. Why? Why will people be getting deceived? Why all of a sudden will people not understand when they're being tricked? It says right here, they'll be deceived. And why will lawlessness abound? You see, folks, from verse 10 through verse 12, it's talking about an episode of man that's coming, a historical spiritual episode where man's hearts will be overcome with evil. And that's not going to be announced on the TV. That's not going to be announced on billboards. But why will that be happening? I submit this to you. What Jesus is telling us right here is that during the very time of the end times is going to also include a season of the worst darkness and evil that man has ever had to endure. Darkness and evil, folks. What do I mean by that? I mean a flood, a high tide of oppressive waters of demonic evil entities and spirits that will be loosed upon the earth. We're told in Revelation that Babylon is going to become the habitation of every evil bird and demon and spirits. And that's why in Matthew 24:10-12, it talks about darkness. It's going to affect the way people act. Now, if you're listening to this program, I'm pretty sure you don't want to be overwhelmed with evil to the point where you're getting offended over all sorts of things from others and you hate everybody. I'm sure you don't want to be full of hate. I'm sure that you don't want to be deceived. I'm sure that you don't want your Christianity and your love for God to grow weaker and cold. I'm sure you don't, my friend. But the Bible says it's going to be happening to a lot of people. So how do we make sure it doesn't happen to us? And what is this darkness going to look like? What is it going to feel like? Is there any way for us to have a spiritual radar so that we know when we're around it? Is there any way to have our discernment strengthened? Is there any way to know when the spiritual forces and the wickedness are enveloping us or in our presence, and these spiritual forces are trying to make you change your temperament, to have hatred, to have anger, to be offended? How do we do this, folks? What I'm saying right here is the very reason that I'm talking right now. This is one of the reasons that Watchman's Cry exists, because the people of God and those that want to make it need to know that these things are going to be happening. And side note, if a person was believing in the pre-trib rapture and they never tried to get control of their emotions and their temperament, if they never thought about not having hate and anger as part of their life, if they've never thought about how to keep their passion for God on fire because they believed in the pre-trib rapture, but then suddenly they're thrust into this season, this segment of human history where they're stuck here because the rapture didn't happen and now they have to overcome, what's the choice, folks? The choice is to conduct ourselves in the manner that we read in verse 10 through 12, meaning we fail, or verse 13. Look what it says in verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. That's the only way to make it, folks. And endurance means not succumbing to the dark forces, not succumbing to the flood and the high tide of oppressive waters that are out there. And folks, I submit this to you. In the coming months and in the coming years, this dark tide of oppressive spiritual evil is going to be loosed upon this earth. Now, over the past several years, I've been talking about the darkness that's going to be coming in our future. I've shared some of the visions and prophetic dreams where God gave me glimpses of this darkness. And this darkness was very, very formidable. It was very strong. And in our own strength, in our own intellect, we're not going to be able to overcome it. It's going to take knowing and having a hold of the things of God, having a hold of the scriptures, and not only that, but having a hold of a relationship with God, of being in His presence, having His Holy Spirit oil within us. It's going to take those things, folks. Now, the topic of this program has to do with the Olympic ceremony. And I know that I'm sharing a very large and long introduction, but I need to say these things because as I share what's going to be coming in our future, then it's going to make more sense that the things that are coming are actually in the categories that we just read. They're in the categories of spiritual evil, spiritual forces, spiritual oppression, spiritual darkness that are going to try to tarnish men's hearts, men's souls, and blind them to the truth with deception. So it's very important that we have a foundation that this thing is a spiritual thing and it has to be approached from the spiritual point of view. It must, my friends. We can study the New World Order from the intellectual point of view and become experts, but if we exclude the challenge of the darkness, then we fall short because the darkness is going to be a tsunami that most Christians are not prepared to face. And it's going to require a spiritual warrior strategy to fight and resist this darkness. We're going to need tools to know and understand how to face it and to cleanse ourselves of it. Because, my friends, there will be times where in a few of the battles, maybe the darkness may at times overwhelm some of us. But we'll also need to know how to get back on our feet and dust ourselves off and put our armor back on. If some of you that are listening may have found yourselves defeated by the darkness in the past, I want you to know that you do not have to stay defeated. There's victory available for any person that calls upon God and trusts in God and seeks Him diligently. My friends, at times we may be attacked by invisible forces of darkness, oppression, and spiritual invisible forces of wickedness arriving around us as a thick, gloomy cloud. There's going to be times where it happens. Then what? When this cloud of gloom arrives at your address, what do? How do you deal with it? What spiritual knowledge and weapons do you have right now to deal with it? Jesus said, because lawlessness abounds, the love of many will wax cold. You know what that means, folks? It means that many people of God will not be ready and are going to be growing weaker instead of stronger. Now, why would this happen? There's many reasons, but one of the main ones is they will not be prepared. They weren't ready. They'll have no knowledge of what to do. They'll have limited strength, limited spiritual resources. So, folks, as a foundation, it must be said over and over, we need to get stronger now. Now is the time. Now, this darkness that Jesus mentions in Matthew 24 is going to be coming upon the earth in waves. It's going to be coming in small portions, and they're going to slowly get larger and larger and larger. Most people will not be aware that it happened. It's going to happen slowly. If it happened all of a sudden, a lot of people would become alarmed and maybe they'd do something about it. But that's not how it's going to play out, folks. It's going to happen slow because the enemy is very sly. He's very wicked and wise with his schemes. And that's what he does, folks. He has schemes. He's been at this for a long time. He knows how to trick humans. So he does it slowly and subtly. And I'm saying this, folks, because based on what I witnessed in the recent Olympic ceremony, let me give a summary of what just happened to the planet. The opening Olympic ceremony that occurred on July the 27th of this year, which is just a few weeks ago, announced, and you can write this down, folks, it announced to the world the birth of the New World Order. And this announcement was not proclaimed openly. It was not proclaimed in those words, but it was proclaimed in its imagery. It was proclaimed in its ritual. It was proclaimed in the things they did. And for those of you that are students of the New World Order, of the Illuminati, of the Freemasons, for those of you that know what I'm talking about, you saw some of these things happen. And for those of you that might not know all of the parts, it is very apparent that that ceremony, if you were able to endure it, because it was 3 hours long and some of it became very hard to watch because it was very, very dark and creepy. But if you watched it, it's very apparent, my friends, that something was going on. Something on a very high level of evil was going on in that ceremony. It was apparent. Most of you that did watch it, if you have a spiritual radar, and I'm pretty sure most of you do because if you listen to this program, you are a cut above. I believe that you're one of the remnant of God. I believe that you are those that God has called out from among them to not touch the unclean thing. You're a smart person. That's why you listen to these programs. And you saw that it was wrong. That ceremony revealed that the world has entered a new era because there were so many things that took place. I have probably almost 200 pages of notes in front of me right now. I have a lot of stuff. And as I said, folks, I had to go into the dark ether to obtain this, but I'm going to present to you what happened. And we're going to peel back the layers because as this ceremony took place on national TV, there was a surface rendition. And as the things were going on, the commentators, the announcers on TV, were saying what they were told to say. They were repeating and reading from the scripts that they were given. And as each event happened in that Olympic ceremony, they gave them different titles. And the titles that we heard were, for the most part, benign. And in fact, some of them even sounded charitable and they sounded good. But then there were some portions of the program where it was obvious that we were seeing something that was dark. They actually gave them dark titles. So we're going to talk about that. But here's what I'm going to do, folks. I'm going to share with you what they said to us on the surface. But then we're going to peel back the layer of the deception that was on the surface. And we're going to see the actual truth of what they were saying. Because they always announce what they're doing. But they do it very subtly. They show it to the world in plain sight, and they have it in plain sight. But for most people, it is hidden in plain sight. So what we're going to do is we're going to peel back the layers to reveal what their plan was. And then we're going to take it apart piece by piece. But this is what the summary is, folks. In our future, life is about to change. That's what they revealed. Things are going to change. And these changes that are coming are going to affect every human being on this planet. No one is immune. Also, here's the other thing that they announced. This world has given birth to a new era, a new age, a new course, a new season is arriving, and it has begun. They also let us know that the world has relayed the torch of man into a new passage of time. Did you get that, folks? The torch of man has been relayed into a new passage of time. And here's the amazing part. The new world order that many people believe can be stopped has arrived. It happened without the firing of one bullet. I want to qualify that. So far. But of course, we're only at the part of the opening credits. And not many people are noticing. And folks, this is the part that has me scratching my head, but I guess this is the way it had to happen, and it is this. As this ceremony revealed itself to be the evil plan of the New World Order, I was amazed how the majority of those that were watching enjoyed it. They enjoyed it, they received it, and they validated it with loud cheers and applause. The people were mesmerized when they saw it. And as I was witnessing this, I realized that the New World Order is going to birth itself with a grand exhibition. And it did. It birthed itself with a display of fireworks and cool music. There were songs that were sung. The boat was launched. And the giant images were displayed. The mascots emerged. Here's what's amazing, folks. It was not resisted. It was not refused. The people loved it. Now, how could this be? When I read those verses in Revelation about how the whole world worshipped and followed the beast, and they were amazed at the beast, and they marveled after the beast, which is the New World Order, I wondered to myself, how could this happen? How can the world love it? It's bad. Because in a lot of those fictional books that we've read about how it's going to play out, the books illustrate it as something that's so obviously evil that everybody knows. But that's man's interpretation. When we see reality, the cast of characters is going to include Satan himself, the father of lies, the deceiver, the one who appears as the angel of light. He has been at this a while. And since he is the master showman deceiver, he was able to accomplish this ceremony by the use of fashion and Hollywood decorations. Isn't it amazing, folks? Modern day entertainment dethrones any vigilance that most people have. Isn't it amazing that when it comes to music, most people find themselves captivated instead of situated to resist? When music is played, most people find themselves with hollow eyes of zombie blindness and stupor. Isn't it amazing when the world presents shiny fashion and cool music and fancy lights and fireworks that most people find themselves tranquilized under a spell? And that's what happened during this ceremony. Ladies and gentlemen, on July the 27th, 2012, at the Olympic opening ceremony, the stadium became a beacon that announced the arrival of the New World Order. And unfortunately, folks, I regret to say that it was accomplished without the show of bullets or force. Under the guise of quote-unquote cool, many things can be accomplished. How many of you have watched the black and white newsreels of that crazy man, Adolf Hitler? You know those newsreels of Hitler standing up at the podium and his arm is outstretched and he's giving off one of those speeches where he's yelling and he sounds like he's so mad and he's screaming and he's doing it very passionately and spit is coming out of his mouth and all the people are amazed at what he's saying? And have you ever found yourself wondering, how could that crazy man have the attention of all those people? He's crazy. Of course, we know that now, but why did the people go along with it? You know why, folks? Because while Hitler was giving his speech, it was actually happening in living color. And there was loud music. It was fun and exciting. And he had many people that were marching, showing their strength inside of packed stadiums. And during his ceremonies, he showed the display of force with his military equipment as part of the parades. He put on a great show. And he, well, you know what, folks? People haven't changed. It seems that humans fall for the same trick every time. Satan's been at this, folks. He knows how to do it. He was there putting on a show for Alexander the Great. They had parades. The Roman Empire had their parades of strength. And Nebuchadnezzar had his cool music and gatherings. This technique is not new. This technique was used by Stalin and Lenin and Mao Zedong. And you know, folks, it appears that when humans find themselves in a parade, their guards go down. And a few days ago, the world watched the ceremony in London. And this ceremony was an announcement, and it spoke volumes through the prophetic, and it revealed to all of us that it's now here. The New World Order has been born, and allow me to qualify that. The New World Order has been born, but presently it's an infant. It's a baby. But folks, this baby is a giant. It's a very large, giant, creepy baby. And this baby's going to grow up, and it's going to be stubborn and selfish, and it's going to want its own way. It's not going to listen to reason. And the era that is going to see fruition is going to be the biblical beast that we've all known was coming. And this beast is going to be a kingdom to unite the world. And it's going to be a kingdom fueled with a mixture of communism, socialism, and fascism. And it's going to be powered by the ruler of darkness, by the entities of hell. These entities of hell, they have their spiritual forms, but they're also going to manifest in human form. I cannot state this enough. I know that it's not popular to say this, but the New World Order means a very disturbing thing if you happen to be an American. And the sad part and the alarming part and the thing that concerns me about this is that most Christian Americans have no clue what's coming. They have no clue how bad it's going to get. They have no clue on what they need to be thinking about and preparing for. Ladies and gentlemen, the New World Order means that America is going down. America is going to be stripped, purged, and like a wad of disgusting chewing tobacco, it's going to be chewed up and spit out. Some people wonder, when will the jobs return? Well, according to their plan, folks, here's when. After America is pillaged. After labor and wages are reduced and equalized with India and Malaysia. A report just came out a few days ago that now in the nation of America, the nation of a little over 300 million, one-third of them, 100 million Americans are now receiving aid from the government. One-third, folks. So their plan is well in motion, it's occurring, and it doesn't seem to be a big concern with a lot of people in American cities right now. The New World Order has a plan for America. Three things are going to happen. There's going to be a new financial system. This financial system is going to be socialist, and America is going to be included in it. A socialist economic financial system. Number two, a socialist political system of tyranny, of dictators, with jackboot thugs asking for papers at checkpoints. And then the final one's going to be a new world religious system. It has to be engineered to perfection. As I said earlier in this program, what is the date of arrival for this thing? Well, it's already started. It started in September of 2008, and it's been in motion now for a few years. And as this plan to financially corrupt America progresses, eventually the plan is going to reach its zenith, its opus. And when this happens, they're going to pull the rug out from the economy. And the economy is going to fall over the cliff. And the American financial world is going to fall into the abyss, where it goes down and crashes on the rocks below. And as it does this, it's going to take the finances and the wealth of all Americans with it. And the crash will be loud. It'll raise a cloud of dust. It'll be incredible. There'll be great carnage. The porcelain of the rich will break, and the pottery of the poor will be crushed to powder. But this thing's going to happen to bring chaos. That's the goal. Chaos. Financial chaos here in America and in the rest of the world. After this chaos happens, then the next phase will begin, which will be a new world political order. And that's when the remaining freedom will be taken away. The remaining freedom of Americans who say, "Don't tread on me." The remaining freedom of Americans who believe in the facade of the Constitution, which has already been butchered and dismantled. That's the next phase. And when you have political change and you take away the freedom of people, the result is tyranny. The result is oppression. The result is occupation by evil lords. And when this happens, folks, these two things, the first phase of the financial crash is going to occur peacefully because it's already occurring peacefully. Now, this peaceful demise is only going to continue for so long, because when the American financial system goes over the cliff, then the peace is going to be gone. What we will have is an eruption of very angry villagers with torches and pitchforks asking, why did this happen? Asking for a refund, claiming that they didn't sign up for this, making statements that they're surprised, shifting blame and pointing fingers. And then chaos will erupt. And when the chaos erupts, the peace will be gone. And then it's going to be a time of devastation. The economic devastation will arrive, and people will not know what hit them. And those that thought themselves comfortable, and those that placed faith on their possessions, are going to realize that their possessions aren't saving them. Many people are going to find themselves devastated financially, and then mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Folks, as these events occur, when you throw into the mix an atmosphere of hovering gloom and darkness, the end result is people that are losing their mind, people who become enveloped in fear, people who have nowhere to turn, and then people who start fulfilling what we read in Matthew 24, lawlessness abounding, becoming offended, hating one another, betraying one another. It's going to happen because of chaos. That's the driving force that's going to fulfill this segment of Matthew 24, my friends. And it's not good. And it's not going to be pretty. And I have to share these things because during the Olympic ceremony, this was announced. This thing is coming. Now, it looks like this will be a good place to stop. This is going to be the end of part one. And as I stated earlier, this series is going to be a large multi-part series. And at this point, it looks like it's going to take 5 to 6 parts, maybe more. As I'm seeking God and looking at my notes, God's just revealing more and more things that need to be shared. I have so much research and data. So folks, I don't want to just give you the Cliff Notes versions. I must give you a quality presentation of all of this information. So I really have no choice but to make it several parts. In my studio, I have already recorded 8 hours of information, and I probably have another 4 to 5 hours to add to it. So this project is looking to be the largest undertaking that we have ever done here at Watchman's Cry. And the other parts that are coming, part 2, 3, 4, and so on, let me tell you what some of the other parts are going to be, what we're going to cover. We're going to talk about the origin of the Federal Reserve, the Illuminati pyramid, symbology of the Illuminati, the secret plans to destroy the dollar. We're going to talk about Nimrod and Babylon and the origin of many of the false pagan gods and goddesses, spiritual warfare, the coming nanny state, 1984 and Big Brother. Ladies and gentlemen, there is so much. And yes, all of this was revealed at the ceremony. So please listen to all of the parts. The next part should be out in about 2 days. So please look for it. And also, my friends, please share this program. Let all your friends know about what we're doing. If some of your friends saw the Olympic ceremony and they've told you, let them know that there's a Christian source to explain what all of those things meant. So much happened in that ceremony, folks, so please be looking for that. All right, folks? Well, God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Lord, we bow before your throne. Lord, you worship you and you alone. We'll proclaim your name throughout the land. Jesus is Lord. For you are Lord. You are Lord. You have risen from the dead, and you are Lord. Every knee shall hope how every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we stand before your throne. Lord, to worship you and you alone, we'll proclaim your name throughout the land. Jesus is Lord. Lord, we bow before your throne. Lord, to worship you and you alone, we'll proclaim your name throughout the land. Jesus is Lord. We'll proclaim your name throughout the land. Jesus is Lord. We'll proclaim your name throughout the land. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, your Lord.